the cost of your monthly Lipitor prescription. For eligible patients, Lipitor is available for as little as $4 a month with the Lipitor copay card. Terms and conditions apply. To learn more, please visit Lipitor.com. See our ad in Cooking Light magazine. Learn more at Lipitor.com or call 1-888-LIPITOR.
If you want to save money this year, now's the time to save even more at Sam's Club. From January 25th through 29th, all members will receive $650 in e-values. Instant additional savings plus members enjoy all year. $100 off a Vizio HD TV, $4 off Dunkin' Donuts coffee, $2 off Kleenex tissues, and much more. Want to save more every day? Become a Plus member and make the most of your membership with e-values all year. Sam's Club. Savings made simple. Supplies are limited and may not be available in all clubs. One item per membership. No rain checks.
Stocks are rising on Wall Street in the early going as we get to new economic reports. Fox Business Network's Lauren Simonetti live watching the markets.
Dave, stocks are getting the Bernanke bounce after the Federal Reserve pledged to keep interest rates at record lows for another 3 years. The Dow is up 60 points on Wall Street. More Americans filed for jobless benefits last week, the number rising to 377,000, remaining below that critical 400,000 level. And orders for big-ticket items like cars and refrigerators, so-called durable goods orders, rose 3% in December, and just in new home sales fell 2.2% in December after rising in November. Netflix said it gained back many of the subscribers it lost after those controversial price hikes over the summer. Dave.
Lauren, more on housing. The numbers aren't as bad as they were in 2010 when it comes to foreclosures. Almost one in three homes sold in the U.S. were in foreclosure that year, but the market does remain shaky.
20% of all homes sold in the third quarter of last year were in some stage of foreclosure.
If we go back to our numbers in 2005 and 2006, foreclosure sales accounted for less than 5%.
Darren Blomquist with Realty Track says the selling price of a foreclosed home averages a little more than $165,000, more than 30% less than non-distressed properties.
That high percentage of foreclosure sales is continuing to drag down home values.
In Washington, Jared Halpern, Fox News Radio.
Now, oil has been going back up this morning, nearly $2, over $101 a barrel again, but gas is the same. AAA's average for self-serve regular still $3.38 a gallon. The day after Joe Paterno was laid to rest, there will be a public memorial for the legendary football coach at a sold-out Penn State Arena.
His star should burn bright all through the history of this university. As long as this university is here, his name should be part of it.
He was among the thousands at a public visitation before Paterno's private funeral yesterday. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
AM 1460, WVOX, and WVIP HD4, New Rochelle.
Updated by the forecast for Westchester County and Resilia, we start off with cloud cover this morning. There'll be a few sprinkles, maybe even a snow flurry in some of the colder spots north. But as the day wears on, temperatures warm up between 40 and 45, and it looks like occasional rain this afternoon and tonight. Periods of rain, drizzle, and fog for tonight, and nighttime lows holding to lower 40s. Overcast with showers on Friday in the morning hours. It's going to be breezy and warm. Daytime highs in the lower 50s on south winds, and those showers end in the early afternoon with some clearing by mid-afternoon Friday. At Friday night, partly cloudy, breezy, nighttime lows down to your 30. A look at the weekend shows fair weather for Saturday. Actually, Saturday right up through Tuesday. Saturday, partly sunny in the mid-40s. Sunday, partly sunny, 43 to 48 degrees. Monday, it'll be mostly sunny, breezy, and colder, 35 to 40, but that's near normal for this time of year. And Tuesday, partly sunny, back to the lower 40s. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather is brought to you on WVOX Worldwide by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center, right for New York.
Every day, New Yorkers depend upon the clean and reliable electricity provided by Indian Point. On an average day, Indian Point provides about a quarter of the electricity for New York City and Westchester at lower cost than other power plants and helps our efforts to improve air quality. You have a right to know the facts about Indian Point, because when talk turns to extending the licenses of these plants, we all need to remember how important Indian Point is to New York. For instance, did you know that without Indian Point's lower cost power, our electric rates would be much higher, and that an equivalent gas-fired power plant would pour millions of tons of pollutants a year into the air we breathe, and that the independent experts in charge of New York's electric grid have said that the city could face rolling blackouts without Indian Point. I'm Teresa Motko, and I'm an engineer here at Indian Point, and my family and I live in the area. All of us have a right to know why Indian Point is right for New York. Visit rightfornewyork.com for answers.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of author Cynthia Ozick, Vincent Pastore, J.C. Penney, and the Sound Shore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
This is Bill O'Shaughnessy. Welcome to another great broadcast day here on the radio, your radio, New York, WVOX and WVOX.com worldwide. This is America's great community station for you and yours. 1460 WVOX. Thanks for inviting us in.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Lebensold, your host for the series on the natural world, education, and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, January 26th, 2012, the 36th day of winter. We have gained 2 minutes of daylight since yesterday, 25 minutes since last we met 2 weeks ago. We are more than a third through winter. Spring will arrive on March 20th, less than 2 months from today. This winter has been wonderfully mild, last weekend's routine snowfall notwithstanding. They always make such a big fuss, oh, we have team coverage for this snow, and it was just a little, stinky little snow. We're still experiencing what promises to be a nice, easy winter. Of course, we must not be smug about the weather. Anything can happen. If you doubt that, recall that the Giants are going to the Super Bowl. Who'd have thunk it? The sun rose at 7:11 this morning. It will set at 5:04 this afternoon. We will have 9 hours and 53 minutes of daylight today. The moon rose at 8:36 this morning. It will set at 8:57 this evening. We are 3 days past new moon. The next full moon is February 7th. Next high tides in New Rochelle at 1:15 this afternoon. In Yonkers, 11:51. I'm sorry, in Yonkers at 11:20 this morning in about an hour and 10 minutes. In Tarrytown, 12:04 this coming afternoon, and in Haverstraw, 12:16. Before we go further, I would like to acknowledge that today's program marks 10 years of Environmentally Sound. During that time, I have interviewed some amazing people, noted scientists, authors, engineers, actors, artists, public officials, people I would never have had the opportunity to speak with without this chair on WVOX. As we begin year 11, I wish to express heartfelt thanks to Bill O'Shaughnessy for providing me this opportunity, to Don Stevens for all he has done and continues to do in running this station. Also, the fine engineers who have made it happen on the front lines, currently Debbie Schechter, who allows me to concentrate on the program with confidence that the mechanics will be handled smoothly and professionally and pleasantly. And thanks to the rest of the staff and broadcasters who make WVOX the unique radio station it is. Just before we go on again, I'd like to just acknowledge the passing of my good friend Howard Schneider. He brought much joy to many people as part of the singing duo Mr. Bob and Howie, of which it was my privilege to be the other member. We played for lots of people. We made them smile. We made them dance. And Howie has a great legacy. Now our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. And before we call the roll of the Americans, we note that five French soldiers were shot and killed by an Afghan army soldier during physical training on January 20th, just 6 days ago. Due to this incident, France is considering pulling all its troops from Afghanistan. No word yet on what they will do. Okay, the names of the Americans who were killed in the last 2 weeks, we honor them by calling their names. Six Marines were killed when their helicopter crashed in Helmand Province on January 19th. The cause of the crash is under investigation. If my math is correct, that was a week ago today. There was enemy activity in the area, but we don't yet know, at least I don't yet know, if this was a result of that. All of these Marines were with the 3rd Marine Expeditionary Force. They are Corporal Jesse W. Stites, age 23, of North Beach, Maryland. Captain Daniel B. Bartle, age 27, of Ferndale, Washington. Master Sergeant Travis W. Riddick, age 40, of Centerville, Iowa. Corporal Joseph D. Logan, age 22, of Willis, Texas. Captain Nathan R. McHone, age 29, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And Corporal Kevin J. Reinhard, age 25, from right up the road here in Colonia, New Jersey. Also losing their lives within the last 2 weeks, Specialist Keith D. Benson, age 27, of Brockton, Massachusetts. He was killed on January 18th. Corporal Philip D. McGeith, age 25, of Glendale, Arizona, also January 18th. Marine Lance Corporal Kenneth E. Cochran, age 20, from Wilder, Idaho, was killed on January 15th. Sergeant First Class Benjamin B. Wise, age 34, of El Dorado, Arkansas, killed on January 15th. And Corporal John Luke Bateman, age 22, of Tulsa, Oklahoma, killed on January 15th. These 11 American service members were alive on the date of our last broadcast 2 weeks ago. Please keep them in your thoughts every minute of every day. They will never see their families again. They will never again feel an embrace other than that of the cold ground. They fought for our rights, our lifestyle, and they died for them. Each of these deaths is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the near future, because there are no more deaths to report. Okay, time for the Culture Corner. My reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, and what have you. Keep in mind that these are my opinions, and you have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong. I saw two plays last week. I saw Spider-Man for the second time and a play called Other Desert Cities. You may imagine that given two Broadway plays, a light comic book musical fraught with difficulties before it ever saw a stage, with a modest score written by U2's Bono on the Edge, and then, on the other hand, a serious drama written by an award-winning playwright named John Robin Bates, the choice for the better show would be easy to decide. And you would be right. It is easy. Between Spider-Man and Other Desert Cities, Spider-Man is fun and amazing with a lightweight plot and so-so songs, but it wows with effects. That is why I went to see it again. Other Desert Cities, on the other hand, is a standard drama like other dramas about family dysfunction and crisis, but there's nothing especially new about this play. The conflicts have all been done before, and usually better. Compared to something like, let's say, August Osage County, Tracy Letts' 2008 Tony and Pulitzer Prize winner for Best Play, this one pales. Even compared to 2011's The Atmosphere of Memory, an off-Broadway play starring Ellen Burstyn and John Glover, it takes second place. Atmosphere of Memory and Other Desert Cities both deal with books written by characters about their families in order to deal with their own angst. The families, of course, are not keen on publishing these revelations. That's understandable. But you need more than just a device to open a play's subject matter. The play must make it work to validate the premise, and Other Cities does not work. A few quotable lines. Telling the truth is an expensive habit is one example. Fine. Stacey Keach brings his usual natural acting talent. Since the days of MacBird, which was 45 years ago when I first saw him, he has been consistently a fine actor. He was so good all those years ago that even though he has mellowed, you can't really say he's better. Good is good. And so is the rest of the cast. Dr. Channing, Judith Light from Tony Danza's Who's the Boss, Rachel Griffiths, very fetching, from 6 Feet Under, the HBO feature. And Justin Kirk is okay. He's, you know, he's in the presence of greatness, so he's just okay. So between Spider-Man and Other Desert Cities, go see Spider-Man, unless you are a die-hard drama goer. Pass on Other Desert Cities. Now, a note from the movie world. War Horse has just been nominated for a Best Picture Oscar. Last show, I reviewed this movie unfavorably, and I stand by that. Unless you love violence for its own sake, save your bucks on this one. Take these movie dollars and those you might have spent on Other Desert Cities, and you'll be able to buy a decent snack and a Spider-Man ticket. My guest today is David Champion. He is director of Consumer Reports Automotive Test Center in East Haddam, Connecticut. Joining us in our studios today, welcome, David Champion.
It's nice to be here.
Well, you are the car expert, and we've discussed beforehand how you test cars in extreme conditions, very cold, very hot. That must have been interesting years. But all cars get us around. The Minis, the Hummers, the Beetles, the Jags, the Volt, the Chevy Suburban, the Teeny to the Huge. So we understand there are real issues of size and power. You might need more power. You might need more room. But there are so many choices among even comparable vehicles. You know, you can buy any number of SUVs. How do we choose?
Well, I think you really need to look at what you want in a car. I always say, sort of take the car that you have currently. Make a list of all the things that you like about the car. Make a list of the things that you don't like about your car. And then think about where you're going to be in the next 5 years. Because you're usually going to keep that car for a good amount of time. So if you've got young children, you want something that's going to grow with those children. If you've got teenagers, like I do, they don't want to be seen with you. So there's no need to get a big car anymore because, you know, the worst thing is being driven around in the loser cruiser. So in many ways, you really need to know where you are and what car you've got. And then there's three things you really want out of a car that you could live with every day that makes it easy to get around, easy to get in and out of, easy to see out of, a car that's reliable. You don't want a car that's always in the shop being fixed all the time. You want a car with good fuel economy because, you know, we know with fuel prices, they're not likely to come down. The expectation is they're going to continue to rise. And then also, you know, a car that really excites you to drive in some ways if you're that type of driver.
But, okay, that makes sense. But when you have like a Honda SUV and a Toyota SUV, which are comparably priced, okay, we're going to have to take a break, but we'll come back to how you actually do make a choice. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Giants Neck, Delaware, Blue Ball, Cocked Hat, Moodus, or Moosup, Connecticut, or Typo, Kentucky, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. I am Bob Levinsohn. My guest is David Champion. Also in the studio is Joan Austin. And we will be right back.
News at 20 minutes past the hour, every hour. Here's the latest update from the Fox Business Network on WVOX Worldwide.
From the Fox Business Network, it's a bullish morning on Wall Street. The market's on the rise for a second straight day thanks to some strong earnings from the likes of Dow heavyweight Caterpillar. Solid news on the U.S. economy also pushing stocks higher. Just past 10 a.m. Eastern, the Dow Jones Industrial Average is up 60 points. Green arrows for the NASDAQ and the S&P 500 as well. Orders for durable goods rose more than expected in December. Strong demand for aircraft helped push overall orders 3% higher last month. It marks the third straight month of gains and a rebound in the gauge of business spending, suggesting investments closed on an upswing in 2011. Jobless claims climbed higher last week, but the longer-term trend points to a healthier job market. 377,000 Americans joined the unemployment line last week, higher than economists forecast. But job growth has gained momentum in recent months. The unemployment rate dropped to a near three-year low of 8.5% for December. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Robert Gray.
Hi, I'm sports broadcaster Aaron Andrews. I get to see a lot of breakout players, but the secret to winning? Team. That's why in business, I recommend the Cintas team. You know them for uniforms, but they also have tile and carpet cleaning, restroom supplies, document shredding, fire and first aid services. And only Cintas has Carhartt rental workwear. Don't settle for less. Call Cintas at 1-800-CINTAS-6 or visit cintas.com/radio. And bring in the team with the white truck.
There's always something happening right here on 1460 AM and worldwide at WVOX.com.
Just in touch with what's going on today.
Where many different voices are heard in the land.
WVOX.
We are back. We're speaking with David Champion, the director of the automobile testing for Consumer Reports. It's in Haddam, Connecticut, is it?
East Haddam.
East Haddam, Connecticut.
We're on the poor side of the river.
Joan and I have visited that facility, very impressive, and we were taken on the track, several tracks, very interesting ones. There's this one with big boulders, this hill, steep hill with big boulders where four-wheel drive cars and trucks and SUVs are put through their paces. Also a track where you scream around the curves, rear end breaking loose, and that was exciting. We had to wear helmets. And, you know, when you see those things on TV, they say, don't try this at home. These are professional drivers on a closed course. That was professional drivers on a closed course. These were the real deal. So, David, that's what you are. Now, do you actually do any of the testing yourself?
Yes, I do. I find that if you're going to be asked questions about cars, it's so much easier if you've been involved in the testing and actually are part of the analysis of how good the car is. You know, I think people that talk about it from a distance, you know, they read what is written. You don't get a real impression of a car unless you've actually driven it.
But if you have drivers on your staff, you are the director, after all. You have guys, one fellow who drove us around, I don't remember.
Jake, probably.
Jake. Extremely talented driver. Certainly, if he tells you something, you can certainly believe it. But I think you probably like to just get behind the wheel sometimes.
I still enjoy it. Enjoy and that? They try and force me back into the office to answer phones and various other things. But, you know.
Where's David? On the track.
I'm a gearhead. I'm a car nut. My wife thinks I have 5W30 running through my veins rather than blood. But no, I really enjoy doing the testing. And when you're trying to make a decision about a car, having somebody else do the test and you can watch it and then go out and experience it yourself, you can have a better appreciation of whether you think that's good, bad, or, you know, it's acceptable. And, you know, when we're making decisions that relate to somebody's safety on the road, you really want to make sure that what we're feeling and what happens to a car at the limits is something that is or could be dangerous. Then you want to be really sure of how you express that in the words in Consumer Reports or online.
Do you actually write the articles yourself?
I don't write the articles, but I do get to read them. We actually write what we call a technical report, which is probably about 10 to 15 pages on each car, and that goes to our editorial folks actually in Yonkers, New York, and they sort of take that and turn it from engineering gibberish into readable English.
They're your translators. You mentioned 5W30. While we're on it, we might as well ask what is the best oil to use? Does it vary from season to season, from car to car?
Really, what you should look at is the owner's manual of your car. And make sure you get a good quality oil. We have tested oils in the past and found most of them, if they meet all the certification specifications that your car requires, then if you just change your oil every time that the owner's manual says, which is usually maybe 5,000 to 10,000 miles, you don't need to change it every 3,000. And as long as you keep with that the right grade for the conditions that you're driving in, any good quality oil will provide the right protection for your car.
So the house brand is just as good as the Castrol and the all those.
It's usually made by Castrol and then sold as a cheaper price.
So you said check the manual. What about tire pressure? I know some mechanics say, just put 30 all around and this or that. What? How do you guide yourself on that?
Tire pressures are on the door placard of your car. So when you open the door, it will give you a placard there. We have noticed on a couple of SUVs, the latest Mercedes ML that we just tested had something like 45 PSI or 45, 48, I think it was, on the door placard. But on the door flap of the fuel door, it said for running above 100 miles an hour, fully laden, that's when you need those high pressures, which made the ride poor. The steering was very vague at those very high pressures. So we dropped them down to what it said on the fuel door, and it made the car much better to drive. And we can't understand why some manufacturers do this and make it more difficult for the consumer to actually find what the right tire pressures are.
So they said at speeds of 100 miles an hour, fully laden. So they're talking to Autobahn drivers, I guess.
Yes, and we're just wondering whether it has another reason why they put it there. But it seems perplexing that for 90% of the time, well, I would think 100% of the time here in the U.S., you know, you're not going to be driving at those speeds. The tire pressure should be suitable for the consumer and what they're going to be driving at.
Well, but suitable. So what you're saying is just follow the manufacturer's recommendations.
Follow the manufacturer's recommendations.
So if a mechanic just wants to be lazy and put 30 everywhere, don't do that.
Don't do that. And also check your tire pressures regularly. You know, during the summer when the ambient temperatures are high, that creates more of a air pressure in the tire. But as the temperature drops, especially during the fall and into the winter, for every 10 degrees of ambient temperature, you lose 1 PSI in the tires. So going from summer to winter, you're likely to lose 4 or 5 PSI in your tires, which, and that's not including any leakage that actually permeates through the rubber. So we say you should check your tire pressures at least once a month with a good quality gauge. And we actually prefer the digital gauges now. Most of those digital gauges are reasonably priced, and they either work or they don't work. So you don't get an inaccurate result.
Interesting, because I've been remiss in that. You know, I will check them once in a while. And if it's supposed to be 28, sometimes it's down to 22, or, you know, and they're all uneven. And I've always wondered, am I damaging the tires? Am I costing myself gas mileage, mm-hmm. driving feel? All of the above.
You know, when we drop the tire pressures by about 10%, we lost about a mile to 2 miles per gallon overall. So, you know, it really does... help you every day at the pump to keep your tire pressures at what is required on the door placard.
And I get crappy gas mileage anyway, so I need to. I'm driving an Acura 3.2 TL. Do you have any comments about that?
Very nice car. What year?
96.
Okay, yeah, one of the first generations.
Not bad.
Very nice car.
It was Joan's car. She had it for the first 100-something thousand miles. Then, as women often do, when it gets to be 100,000, they say, oh, that's the scary mark. Whereas with a guy, 200,000 is really nothing.
Yeah, whatever.
Just keep the oil in there.
Well, for us, I think it's not so much a safety aspect. You know, if we break down on the side of the road, you know, it's no big deal. Unfortunately, you know, in this day and age, if ladies break down on the side of the road, it could be a more dangerous situation.
Of course, now with GPSs and cell phones, it's less so than it used to be.
Oh, yes.
So, okay, we're going to have to take another break. When we come back, we'll open the phones, and if you would like to call in and ask David Champion any questions, our telephone number is 914-636-0110. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460, originating in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Spring Lick, Paint Lick, Mud Lick, or Beaver Lick, or Lick Fork, Kentucky, or Shady Thicket, Georgia, you have logged on to www.wvox.com, and you are listening live. I am Bob Lebensold. In the studio with me is David Champion, director of the Consumer Reports Automobile Testing, and Joan Austin, who is along with us today, and we will be right back.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio. I'm Ron Flatter. Attacks continue to mark the campaign in Florida for votes in Tuesday's Republican presidential primary, like this commercial from a political action committee working for Mitt Romney and against Newt Gingrich.
He was fined $300,000 for ethics violations and took $1.6 million from Freddie Mac.
Gingrich tells a rally in Tampa today he will not cave into that kind of criticism.
I am not going to allow the moneyed interests that are buying those ads to come in here and to come into other states to misinform people and then to think that we're too dumb to fight back.
Two state surveys out yesterday show Romney with an 8-point lead over Gingrich. Considerate housing's good riddance to 2011. The government says fewer people bought new homes last month, culminating housing's worst sales year in the nearly half century that records have been kept. There were 323,000 new homes sold last year. Fox News. We report, you decide.
Little Radical Theatrics Incorporated proudly presents its winter 2011 production, the Westchester premiere of Andrew Lippa's The Wild Party. Winter in Westchester heats up with the mounting of the high-octane musical The Wild Party. With book, music, and lyrics by Andrew, The Wild Party features one of the most exciting, pulse-racing stories ever written. This rowdy, decadent musical, based on the notorious 1920s poem, tells the story of Queenie and Burns, a vaudeville couple whose relationship is marked by vicious behavior and recklessness, mirroring the times in which they live. They decide to throw a party to end all parties, inviting an assortment of people living on the edge for one wild evening in their Manhattan apartment. As the clock ticks on, relationships are forged and torn apart, and ultimately becomes the greatest night they'll ever regret. Starring Britton Gebhardt as Queenie, director Michael Mira as Burrs, Melissa Bayern as Kate, Sean Scott is Mr. Black. Performances begin January 27th at 8 p.m., January 28th at 2 and 8 p.m., and January 29th at 7 p.m. at the Playgroup Theater in White Plains at 1 North Broadway. Get your tickets online at brownpapertickets.com. That's brownpapertickets.com or by calling 800-838-3006. You may also order your tickets by emailing littleradicals@AOL.com. This production appropriate for an adult audience. Little Radical Theatrics presents The Wild Party January 27th, 28th, and 29th at the Playgroup Theater in White Plains.
I want to tell you about a friend of mine named Johnny Russo. He was a huge success on New Year's Eve. And now Maestro Cirio Maccioni and the Maccioni family invite you and a special someone to a romantic evening with Johnny Russo at Le Cirque this Friday evening. Le Cirque on 58th Street between Lex and 3rd in the courtyard of the Bloomberg Building proudly presents the exciting Johnny Russo, and he is that, the charismatic actor and crooner, for another glamorous one-night performance in the dazzling lounge at Le Cirque. Godfather star Johnny Russo, backed by five of the best swinging musicians in the country, will sing all your favorite romantic love songs, ballads, and show tunes starting at 9 o'clock this Friday night. There's no cover, no minimum, just a wonderful evening at the Great Le Cirque this Friday in Manhattan. Call Maitre D' Mario Wehner to reserve your table for dinner and the Johnny Russo show at 9. 212-644-0202. Ask for Mario. 212-644-0202. Another glamorous, entertaining Johnny Russo evening, Friday, 212-644-0202.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Updated weather forecast for Westchester County and vicinity. Cloudy weather for the morning hours. Might be a sprinkle or a flurry in a few spots. Then occasional rain this afternoon. Temperatures will warm between 40 and 45. Periods of rain, areas of fog and drizzle tonight. Overnight low temperatures holding in the lower 40s. Overcast with showers on Friday in the morning hours. In the afternoon, it'll become partly sunny by later in the day. Morning temperatures, though, will be warm in the lower 50s, cooling back later in the afternoon. Partly cloudy, breezy at night near 30. Saturday, partly sunny, middle 40s. Sunday, partly sunny, 43 to 48 degrees. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
Westchester, the Bronx, and now the world on WVOX.com.
The sound of power.
Have your own radio show. Call David O'Shaughnessy for availabilities. 914-636-1460.
WVOX.
We are back. We're speaking with David Champion, Director of Automobile Testing for Consumer Reports Magazine. The Consumer Reports offices, the main offices, are in Yonkers, New York, right across town from us here. And the track is in East Haddam, Connecticut, which we enjoyed a lot. I have two somewhat technical questions, I guess. European brands have been rated by Consumer Reports behind Japanese cars and Lincolns. So why are there so many BMWs, Porsches, Mercedes, Jags, and Minis on the road at all? Why don't consumers make wise choices?
Well, I think, you know, a car is a bit of a reflection of yourself. You take Jaguars, they're notoriously unreliable, and yet I own two of them. neither of them see much of the light of day because I'm usually fixing them. So I think it's a reflection of your personality in some ways. And I think people, I've got a good friend who bought a Mini Cooper S, absolutely loved the car. But it was a load of trouble, and it kept on going wrong time and time again. She's now sold it and bought another car. But she still loves her Mini. So I think in many ways, what you drive every day is something that you get to enjoy.
Yeah.
And I think BMWs, Porsches, Mercedes, they drive really nicely. Reliability is not always the best. And some of the interior controls that we're seeing coming forward on some of these German brands, and also to a certain extent on the domestic brands, have become very complex. They're trying to put too much into the car, and it's very distracting when you're driving.
That's what the Range Rovers, I've been told, that they just pack them with so many innovations that they can't possibly get it right. So many of them come back in, and the mechanics can't really figure them out. So they come back and come back.
And
it's tough when you're paying that kind of bucks.
It is. And I think you can forgive a car once if it goes wrong and the mechanic goes in, fixes it, and it's not a problem again. You think, okay, that's fine.
Absolutely.
If it goes wrong again and it's the same thing and they still can't figure it out, and then it goes wrong again and again and again, you just get to a point, this is just
not happening. It's a lemon, yeah. Well, I've owned BMWs, and one of them was 1600 so many years ago.
Lovely.
Spectacular. The handling was, I felt like I was a race car driver.
Mm-hmm.
And consequently, I almost killed myself a couple of times.
The new BMW 1 Series. Very similar.
Yes?
Mm.
Are they small?
Small.
I think I will. The Toyota recalls a couple of years ago or last year, there's been some problem. Apparently, regulators are dismissing electronic problems. I'm sure you've seen this article. The NHTSA, National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, kind of just withheld documents and said, okay, we'll go along with the story that it's the floor mats or the sticky pedal. And yet, in at least one case that's here in this in this report, the pedal was up and the vehicle was accelerating. Fortunately, the fellow was able to stop it and pull it over. What do you think about that, Toyota? Is there cover up? I mean, is there corruption in government? Duh. But in this case, let's say, would you think that Toyota says, look, please give us a break. We'll give you a couple of $1 million to put in your pocket. Nobody knows about it.
I don't think there's an electronics issue with Toyota vehicles.
You don't.
I never have, even from the very beginning. We've looked at all the control systems that they have. Electronic throttles are on nearly every single car. They use a pretty similar type of accelerator pedal. If this was a huge issue, we would be seeing it on a lot more other vehicles and a lot more different conditions. I've seen the report about the Prius. It has 280,000 miles on it.
That's the one we're talking about.
And
they said it's just too old, so we don't even count it.
Well, they're also saying that the hybrid system, the battery has got some cells that come and go. How much the throttle accelerates, I'm not quite sure. But, I don't think, Toyota still makes some excellent vehicles. The reliability of Toyotas we've seen in the two surveys since all the problems that they've had with their the electronic throttles have shown that, Toyotas in general are the most reliable vehicles out there. So,
really?
We still stand by, what the majority of people say. Yes, there's going to be some people that, always consider there's a conspiracy somewhere. But if you have a Toyota, I would not be concerned.
I don't. Although a friend has a Lexus, which is a Toyota, mm-hmm. and I love driving that thing. That's just excellent to drive.
It's a lovely car.
Now, you, of course, drive whatever car you feel like driving. Almost any brand at any time,
To a certain extent. Most of the time, they tell me what I need to drive, so I get through all the cars that we test.
But you say you own two Jaguars.
Mm-hmm.
Those are, by the way, we say Jaguar in this country. In England, I know it's Jaguar, and it's an English car.
We still spell color with a U.
I like the way Jaguar sounds. I just want to explain that we are not affecting this speech. That's what they're called, Jaguars. So you have a couple, and a friend of mine has three, actually, one of which is being restored. It's an old one, very, very attractive. I love the way they feel. I love the way they ride. Right, John? They're just... And you feel, as you say, you feel a certain way going down the road in a Jag is something special. I've always felt that way since I was a kid. Then when I read the Consumer Reports about how the reliability is not that great, that I kind of said, well, maybe I should not buy into trouble.
If it's going to be a car that you want to rely on, I would not.
Yeah, you would not. Okay. So now, Consumer Reports in general, we just said something about the possibility of corruption in government. There's always questions about is Consumer Reports truly objective? We know they don't accept advertising. We know you don't accept advertising. Do you accept anything in any way that could be considered a conflict of interest, or are you completely straight up objective about everything you test?
We're completely unbiased. We get all our funding from the sale of the magazine, the subscription to the website, and donations from private people. So from that point of view, we do not accept any money or anything from any of the car manufacturers or any manufacturers of any products at all. We test purely for the consumer. The consumer is our number one customer, and to give them the best information that we can so they can make a wise decision on what they buy. You know, buying a car is the second biggest purchase that you ever make, and it's something that you probably make more often than buying a house. And to make a wise decision in terms of value, reliability, and what the car is our number one focus when we're testing cars, when we're reporting on cars, and when we're presenting the data.
So if Toyota were to come to you and say, Mr. Champion, would you please say nice things about Toyota, here's a trip to our factory in Tokyo, or wherever that factory is.
It would be nice, and you know, we're often offered sort of what they call press junkets to go and try these new cars, and they might be out in Monterey or Marrakesh,
Honolulu,
places like that. And you look at them and you go, ooh, would I like 2 weeks? Yes, in the middle of winter. It would be really nice, but we don't go.
We don't do it. Okay, you are listening to WBOX AM 1460. I said that already. In New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Canarsie, Brooklyn, where Howie and I performed for a number of years, or in Blair, Minnesota, where he lived until last Sunday and where his family lives. You have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live. My guest in the studio is David Champion, director of Consumer Reports automobile testing in East Haddam, Connecticut, and a fascinating fellow and very knowledgeable. And we will be back with David in just one moment.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lillian Wu. GOP hopefuls getting ready for Florida's final Republican presidential debate tonight. Rick Santorum trying to play catch up to rivals Newt Gingrich and Mitt Romney addressing a prayer breakfast in Tallahassee.
You look at every great struggle in America where the civil law has been out of sync with God's higher law. It comes from people of faith.
Meanwhile, the man they'd like to replace continues his stump through swing states. Fox Radio's Jessica Rosenthal is in Las Vegas, where
I met several unemployed who want to hear the president basically promise that more tourists will return here. Though one woman said she did want to hear more about funding for green energy jobs. And here at this UPS facility that uses some trucks with alternative fuel, that will be the president's focus, along with an announcement that he'll make available millions of unleased acres off the Gulf of Mexico to obtain more oil and gas.
And stocks are higher on Wall Street after some solid economic reports. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Today's public service programs are brought to you by the Bernback Law Firm of White Plains. This famous Manhattan law firm, now in Westchester, is a national leader in workplace job discrimination issues. Headed by attorney Jeffrey M. Bernback, the author of the well-known book, Job Discrimination, How to Fight, How to Win, the classic text informing employees of legal options available in cases of job discrimination, the Bernback Law Firm is located in downtown White Plains at 245 Main Street across from City Center. Airline founder Don Burr says Jeff Bernback's overview and knowledge of job discrimination ranks with other sweeping visions of employee empowerment. Another reviewer said, as a lawyer and public servant, Jeff Bernback has been drawn relentlessly, almost irresistibly, to the side of those who faced discrimination in all its forms. His entire life and law practice are dedicated to those who find themselves without an advocate when the roof caves in at work. Now, all this great knowledge, dedication, and expertise is available in our area at the Bernback Law Firm in White Plains, 914-428-9100. Area code 914-428-9100.
Some hardware, we go to Cornell's. 310 White Plains Road, Route 22, Eastchester, New York. Cornell's!
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of Carl Reiner, Sidney Frank Importing, Norman Rockwell, and the Sound Shore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
We're always just a click away.
This internet is so darn easy.
Anytime, anywhere.
On my computer.
Streaming live at WVOX.com.
WVOX.
Thank you. We are back. That's Beethoven's string quartet number 13 in B-flat, in case you wondered. It's the Alla Danza Tedesca movement. I think it's the fifth movement. I think it's one of the sublime themes in classical music. That's why I chose it. We're speaking with David Champion, director of Consumer Reports Automobile Testing. David, some companies will say a leading consumer organization has recommended our vehicle. They can probably get away with that, but they cannot use Consumer Reports by name. In fact, you go after them, do you not, if they try to use...
We do.
You do. You have legal people?
We do have legal people. We try and keep the name Consumer Reports from being used for advertising because it's not something that we feel is beneficial to the consumer. The way they use it could be seen as having money from them, from us to, or from them to pay us. So we try and restrict the use of our name for commercial purposes wherever possible, and we will send a cease and desist letter to anybody that does use it.
Do they keep trying?
Oh, they keep trying. They keep trying different ways to get around the system. But, you know, we have a pretty good bulldog that goes after them. And so most of the time, the manufacturers will pull back. And it's interesting, you know, when we say something positive about a car, you know, and it rates highly in our ratings, we won't hear from the manufacturer. As soon as we write something that's particularly damning about a car, you know, they call me up and they say, how come you got this, that, and the other, and da-da-da-da-da-da. And we say, well, if you'd like to come to the track, we will show you exactly what we found with the car. Hey. We will show you why we rated it poorly. And, you know, usually they come, the sales and marketing people are sort of all over you saying that we've got it wrong.
They send the sales and marketing rather than the engineers to say how we can improve it?
They also send the engineers. And the engineers, 99% of the time, the engineers say, yeah, I know. We know exactly what we did. But it was a cost decision, or it was a timing decision that we couldn't, you know, get it in time, or you know, somebody decided that, you know, we're going to take that cost out, and you know, that's what we ended up with. So from that point of view, you know, what we say in the magazine to the engineers that design the cars is nothing new.
So what do the salespeople say when they come to the track? What is their take on that?
Well, they see it as sort of sales that they're not going to get, and you know, how can we improve it? And I said, well, just listen to your engineers. They're the ones that, you know all about it, and they can put it right. You know, there's very few cases where we find something that the engineers haven't found.
So they don't sue you generally. They say, they acknowledge that you're actually a very fine standard for the industry, and they respect what you say, and they look for ways to make it better. So,
yes.
So that's another function that you perform. Not only are you good in recommendations for the consumer, but also in improving the quality of products.
Well, if we tell the engineers, you know, exactly what we found and where it is, and they go away and make a safer vehicle, then the consumer has a better choice.
Excellent.
And a safer choice. We actually had a Lexus GX 460 SUV that we were testing a few years ago that went completely sideways before the electronic stability control came on. And we thought in a big seven-seater SUV, you know, going sideways was, you know, potentially dangerous. So, you know, we put a don't buy out. We invited Toyota to come and, you know, look at the videotape of our testing, showed them exactly what we did. And Toyota did a worldwide stop sale on the vehicle until they'd fixed it.
Excellent.
And, you know, they did a reprogram of the electronic stability control system. We took our car into a dealer, had that recall done exactly the same as any other consumer would, mm-hmm. went out and retested it. And yes, it was much improved.
And so you removed your stop order.
Yes.
You also did that with Toyotas after this accelerator sticking problem. You put
yes.
out a don't buy this car now, and then you lifted it.
Yes, we pulled the recommendations off Toyota vehicles because they weren't on sale. It was a bit strange to say, you know, go out and buy a Toyota. We recommend them if they weren't on sale. So while the Toyota vehicles were not on sale, we pulled the recommendations.
The employees that you have... I think it's across the board. I don't know if you're familiar with the other areas of testing at CR, mm-hmm. but for cars, your employees, your drivers, your technicians, where do they come from? Who are they? Are they just guys who apply for a job, or is it a little bit more than that?
We have a sort of a varied amount. We have one engineer that started off as basically a mechanic and worked his way up, took an engineering degree at night school, worked his way through the system, and he's one of our top engineers and top drivers now.
Is that Jake?
No, Rick Paul.
Okay.
Rick Small, sorry. No, Jake, he was an engineer with General Motors, and we sort of had a vacancy, put it out to you know, one of the recruiting agencies, and they found Jake as one of the engineers. We have a couple of people that came from Pirelli Armstrong that was in New Haven, Connecticut, mm-hmm. As engineers, but the people that do all the work are mechanical engineers or automotive engineers. Mm-hmm. So we have a really, and each test is done totally in isolation to everything else. It's not as if we go out and drive the car and say, ah, I like this car, and that's what we say. Each car goes through over 50 different tests and evaluations. We actually buy the cars anonymously from local dealers.
Right.
So we get exactly the same car as any other consumer would, and then put it through the paces. And that takes maybe 6 to 8 months to put it through all the paces, write the report. So we really get to know the car and know all its positives and negatives before we write the road test.
Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have to answer this question, but given that you are people who like to drive, you, a little mm-hmm. birdie told me you used to race go-karts mm-hmm. in England as a boy. Do you ever clear the track of all of the tests, cones and all of that stuff, and go head to head, you and Jake, or you and...
Oh, we never do anything like that.
Let's see who can get to the end quicker.
I remember some time ago, it was probably about this time of year, and at this time of year, we're putting together the April issue, which is the all car issue of Consumer Reports. So there was a lot of, you know, checking of numbers, checking of ratings, checking and reading documentation and all the reviews, etc. And it was about 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon, and I was just, yeah, I'd hit the wall. I was just, you know, needed a coffee, needed something. And I went to the coffee station, and you know, all the coffee was off, and I thought, you know, do I get it out and redo it again? and make another pot. And I thought, no. And we had the Subaru WRX STI. We had the Evo Mitsubishi. We had a 370Z or 350Z, as it was, and a bunch of other sports cars. And so I picked up my radio and the gate clicker, and I said, there's no coffee on, so I need a shot of adrenaline. So I'm going out on the track with the STI, which was my favorite car and still one of my favorite cars. And after about one lap, there was four or five cars behind, everybody getting their shot of adrenaline so we could finish the review process with the dedication it deserved.
That's beautiful. Now tell me, energy-wise, we're running out of oil. I mean, however much is left, it's a finite source. They're not making any more, and if they are, they're making it very slowly. What do you think is the fuel of the future, or the power of the future? Do you think there's enough power from the sun to actually stand alone and power vehicles? Because I've got little cars. Mm-hmm. You put them in the sun, they zip. So if you can do it in a tiny little thing, why can't you do it in a heavy thing with a bunch of passengers and pull in a trailer? Maybe you can't. What is the energy source of the future?
Well, we've been testing electric vehicles. We've tested the Chevrolet Volt, which is an electric vehicle with an engine, so you don't, when you run out of juice in the battery, you can still get to where you're going. We've also tested the Nissan Leaf, which gives about 65, 70 miles of range before you need to recharge it. The big issue is, you know, that 65 to 70 miles of range is not for everybody, and it's only
like
for a few.
A commuter car.
Just a commuter car, and it's a relatively
expensive.
Drive
it to the station and plug it in when you get home, so if you don't like that.
It's and really, the Achilles heel of electric vehicles is still the battery. You know, we've had lots of battery technology that's, you know, we went through nickel metal hydride, now we're on lithium ion. They're looking at lithium polymer and various other battery sources. But still, the battery is the Achilles heel. The bigger the battery, the heavier it is, the more juice that you take just to move the battery down the road, let alone anything else.
There's so much more I'd like to talk about. In fact, we have an iPad here, and that battery lasts forever, so there must be some good batteries out there. I'm sorry we have to end it here, but...
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.
I'd like to thank David Champion for joining us in the WVOX studio this morning. I personally consult Consumer Reports before making almost any purchase of electronics, appliances, and lots of other things. I also read the magazine, generally cover to cover, just because it is so informative and interesting. A great organization, which David Champion represents excellently. What a great job he has, too. How enjoyable. Our thought for the week, given the choice of either Romney or Gingrich for president, it is a no-brainer. Barack Obama is the only choice. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, the flagship of Whitney Radio, and the best small station in the U.S. of A. Next up, Howard Sturman, live long and prosper. Thanks to Bill O'Shaughnessy and Don Stevens for all you do. I am Bob Levensold, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening, and remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here, and it is now. Health and happiness to you all.